making me appreciate the parsha a lot better.
Yeah, it comes up, we'll probably draw on Thursday a little bit. It comes up in Rishon with the parsha. So our synergy credit will be, once again, hopefully high.
You really want to know what the content of Yosef's dream was about.
Like, right. So
how exactly did they gather the shoes of...
I was thinking about that connection. Obviously, we timed the sugya specifically to be Parshas Vayeshev for that reason. So hopefully, maybe on Thursday, we'll get a chance to look at that a little bit.
Is there enough in Nina of how they tied the shoes of weave in this dream?
Maybe. We'll have to figure it out. We won't understand it till Thursday. But we'll try to get a little bit done today. Ma'amer, as we'll see, is one of the more mysterious malachas. It's MMM. It's a very mysterious malacha in every way that a malacha can be mysterious. Because essentially, it's one of the 39 malachas. That's a pretty big deal. It's obviously a serious matter. And yet, there's so much that is really vague about what's going on. We are given very little in the Gemara to tell us what this malacha means. We're therefore forced to figure out a lot from places where it doesn't come up. And since many of the proofs that we need in the context of Ma'amer are in the negative, how come it doesn't apply here? How come it doesn't apply there? How come this Gemara doesn't say this, doesn't say that? And that's only a helpful proof if you can exclude all other possibilities. There's a lot tricky in figuring out what's going on. And that's especially true also because the malacha itself doesn't seem to be such an absolute kind of malacha. You know, we talk about a malacha like Zorei, or Kotzer, or Choresh, or say Kosev, as much as there may be some disputes as to what's in the boundaries and what's not, at least we have some kind of a conception of objective things happening. This is a malacha which is closer to Borer, maybe, and there being some type of ambiguity as to when you're actually doing something, when you're not doing something. And that's a big problem. And every step of the way, in terms of what is within the scope of Ma'amer and what's not in the scope of Ma'amer is subject to machlokas, is subject to trying to figure out just from what's mentioned and what's not mentioned in various Gemaras, and all of that leaves us with a lot of mystery. So, in terms of puns for Ma'amer, whether it's a pun or really more, again, performance art, what we will try to do today is we will try to first scatter out the basic pieces that are part of the sugya of Ma'amer, and hopefully by tomorrow we will have gathered them up into one unit, and we will be chayav, we will be obligated to fully understand, or if we do any imur of the Shabbos, then we'll be chayav, not shagin. But in any event, chas v'shalom, but in any event, hopefully we'll be able to bring the various parts of the sugya together after we first lay out what some of them are. So, you know, we often try to begin by throwing out the question of translation. So that question has always been a useful, important question for us, and that is very much the case here as well. So you're writing your English malacha book. How do you translate Ma'amer? Sammy, you want to?
Bundling.
Okay, you're already taking a stand. I think you're taking a stand. Anyone want to translate it differently?
Gathering.
Yeah, it's probably a more common translation, maybe a little bit less focused than Sammy's. So they probably both have a potential benefit. Any other stabs at a translation? Collecting. Okay, that also opens up broader possibilities. Anything else? We have collecting, gathering, and bundling.
Organized collecting.
Okay, wait, what does that mean? That's interesting.
What does that mean? Collecting in a...
Could be you're talking about the Miri. It seems to focus on Kavana.
I'll let people decide what I mean for this book.
Oh, okay. The mark of a truly wise man. Okay, so he has inserted that into the discussion. May Taka end up being relevant, so we'll have to see if that's true. So all of these, what would the differences be between some of the words that were thrown out already? Yes.
Well,
collecting and gathering has nothing to do with, you know, putting them together necessarily.
Right.
Putting them in one spot.
Collecting sort of does, and gathering does also, has to be putting together.
No, I'm saying, but not I mean, it's a, you can gather something onto a desk.
Right, you're not joining them into one
you're
unit.
You're not joining them together. That bundling is where you're joining them together.
You're using together meaning connected.
Yeah, correct.
Right, which is
Kiddush. Yes.
Right, so that's, right, so bundling, and you're alluding to the issue in the Rishonim, which you're aware of, that there is a very major debate whether or not Ma'amer requires that the items be tied together, be physically connected in some way. And if it does, what counts as being physically connected? That we'll see also as a discussion. So that's what Sammy's trying to get at when he focuses on bundling specifically as opposed to collecting or gathering. So therefore, it's a more focused definition perhaps, but also open to controversy because there are Rishonim who explicitly say that we're not... So we're not requiring necessarily tying. Anyone know any Rishonim who take a stand in this one way or another?
Okay. Well,
okay. So what about the other? So he mentions both.
And the Rambam has seen it. The way I understand the Rambam was that he doesn't hold the need to have tying, especially if it refers when you tie to Tola. The Rambam seems to think the Rambam says that you need tying.
All right. So a little bit of ambiguity in the Rambam, that's itself a discussion. For example, say for Yerayim, if you saw that, I think put the whole text on the Maamar Komos, he seems pretty clear that it doesn't need to be tied together, according to him. He says you have to be careful if you decide to pick up fruit on the floor, that you may theoretically be violating Maamar, not talking about necessarily tying anything together. But others do have to talk about tying. Right? The Shita L'Haran talks about tying. The Meiri talks about it, but maybe not exclusively. So there is a discussion in the Rishon about whether or not that's a part of it. Aaron?
The Sefer said that also putting the fruit in the basket would be a lach of crap.
Well, he says so, even just picking them up.
Right. So is it possible that the binding, the tying, is just a sign of Masharas, of collecting?
It's possible, yes, except that it would have to, the idea that it's required takes it beyond that. It certainly does show machshavas, but to say you need it would seem to say that machshava without it's not enough. So that's something that we're going to have to try to figure out. Jonathan?
The Yerayim also seemed to mention that it's only needs to be, when talking about tied, it's only tied where it sort of needs to be. For example, he said in the salt case in the Gemara is that it's on salt, so for those things, no one would say that you need to tie it.
So salt itself, so while you're mentioning that, so let's get that Gemara into our discussion also. So the Gemara talks about salt, right? But the problem is, as everything being mysterious, so here the Gemara really gives us a grand total of a little more than two lines, and leaves us with a lot of ambiguity about what to infer from those two lines. Now what does the Gemara say? Amar Rava, which by the way could also be Rabba, so we should be confused about everything. It sometimes does, and because it's between Rabba and Abaye, it makes a difference. So here,
no, that's what I'm saying,
right?
Rabba and Abaye, like
yeah. So that does make a difference, and as we'll see, the main point of this Gemara, how we paskin on it, is very open to discussion. Whether we haven't read it yet, but the main point, whether what's the conclusion in this issue, is very much open to discussion. So Amar Haiman dekanif milcha mi milchasa. So if a man decides to gather salt from a salt place, what's a salt place? So you have these banks, let's say on the side of the water, where it's exposed to the sun, and the sun dries away the water, and it leaves salt all there on the side. So you could theoretically pick up salt from there. So if you were to do that, Rashi explains the whole process if you take a look. So if you gather salt from there, chayiv mishum me'amer, says Rashi, sha'afu k'masei p'shibawunu. So theoretically, that's what me'amer is. This is really all the Gemara is providing for us in terms of what me'amer involves. And then the Gemara says, maybe you don't even have that. Because Abaye Omar, Ein imur elo begedulei karka. It says Abaye, no, maybe imur only applies with gedulei karka, and this doesn't count. So that's itself a big question. How we passing on that? It does affect the Rabba question, and we'll get into that a little bit more. So what do we have from our Gemara? That apparently, if one were to go to a place where everything is essentially coming from, essentially the salt's coming from there, not that it grew there, but that's where the salt is found. If you're going to gather it from that place, you could potentially, let's assume everyone agrees that that's what Ma'amer is, theoretically. The Machlokas is, does Ma'amer apply to salt? So according to the first opinion, whoever he is, it does. And according to the second opinion, Abaye, he doesn't, because that's not called Gedulei Karka. So whether or not Gedulei Karka is a requirement for Ma'amer is itself going to be a machlokes. So Rambam gets involved, Beis Yosef gets involved, and we'll get into that in a little bit more detail probably tomorrow. So is there a significance to the issue of whether it requires Gedulei Karka or not? Does that, why would we say one way or another? Does that tell us anything about what's going on, Sammy?
Well, I mean, the reason why you would say that perhaps it wouldn't even be Gedulei Karka, that's where they would have Ma'amer by the Mishkan and things like that.
So it's probably a Mishkanian issue to begin with, right? Is there does it affect the gather of things to say one way or another? Does the Malacha change if we put it outside of a Karka context?
Well, it could be that if you would say that it's by only by Gedulei Karka, then you have another requirement of
Oh, so that's a big question also. So then, as Sammy notes, so there is a major discussion in the Rishonim about whether or not there is a requirement that Ma'amer is only the Makom Gedulo. What is that what is that issue manifested? Where does it base? Who talks about that? Anyone? A lot of people talk about that, and you can make some examples.
Talks about it.
The Rishonim.
Tosfos
Rid talks about it.
The
Ramah. Right, the Ramah. Right, possibly the Rambam. The Tosfos. And the Tosfos and Beitza. Right, this is the Tosfos and Beitza, by the way, is also a big deal because, as we mentioned, so a lot of what we try to figure out about the Sugya, we have to figure out negatively because we don't have that much material, so we have to look at what's not said. So the Rishonim and Beitza, a couple of places, the middle of the Lamed, the Lamed Zayin, Lamed Gimel, the Tosfos and Lamed Zayin, there's also a Ram and Lamed Gimel, which I didn't put on, but it's, it gets to the same issues. The question of why the Gemara there is not worried about Ma'amer. The Gemara talks about Mutzah, and talks about somebody using firewood on Yontif. On Shabbos, you're not going to have much use for firewood, but theoretically on Yontif you could have use for firewood. So what about bringing together firewood for that purpose? So the Gemara discusses firewood that was gathered already, firewood that's spread around, that's in a harmless, that's in a carpet, it's in different places of access, and the main issue the Gemara is concerned about is what? Is Muktzah. It's a Din D'Rabbanan. And the Rishonim say, why don't we worry instead about a malacha that may not be mutter even on Yantif, that being the malacha of Ma'amer. So the Rishonim have to give answers why it is that it's not applicable in that case. So one of the answers that some of the Rishonim have, again, is this issue of Makom Gidula. So Sammy's assuming that there's a direct link between the two issues, that if you assume that Makom Gidulo is a requirement, it's because you're saying that Gedulei Karka is a requirement. So it seems to go in one direction, that there's only an issue of Makom Gidulo if we're talking about Gedulei Karka. But does Gedulei Karka necessarily require Makom Gidulo? Let's say you have Gedulei Karka that's been brought somewhere else and you want to gather them up. Or bundle them.
I mean, then what would be the difference of Gedulei Karka anywhere?
Oh, so you're saying, so then what's the significance of the Gedulei Karka?
Yes.
So the significance could be that, look, that's what they did in the Mishkan. The Mishkan, it was all done in the model of Gedulei Karka.
But that would still be the Gedulei Karka, at least. piece.
Not necessarily. See, but you're raising an interesting point. Right? We talked about Kedulei Karka recently. What Malacha, did we talk about it? Kotzer. Right? We discussed whether there was a requirement of Kedulei Karka for Kotzer or not. And in the context of that discussion, we talked about what qualifies as Kedulei Karka. Could we have an expansive definition that might include behemoths, perhaps? Right? We had this whole discussion. So we tried to draw on a different melacha, the melacha of Disha. Because Disha, the Gemara says, and probably as the Psak, has to be with Kedulei Karka, and maybe that includes behemoths. And we mentioned an approach that some have, which could be based on Rishonim already, that maybe there's different standards for different malachas. That maybe Kotzer requires genuine Gedulei Karka, and Disha requires technical Gedulei Karka, which could be a broader category. And the difference might be that in the Mishkan, let's say when it comes to Kotzer, they were working directly at the Gedulei Karka stage. And therefore, we need it to be actual Gedulei Karka. While Disha or Tofen may have been interacting with Gedulei Karka, but not necessarily at that stage, after it was already separated from the Karka. So it becomes more of a technical category than an actual category. So the reason I'm bringing all that up is because you could ask the question here also. If we talk about Gedulei Karka in the context of Ma'amer, is this a technical issue because it happens to be this is what was used in the Mishkan during Ma'amer? Or is there something fundamental about Ma'amer which relates to Gedulei Karka? That maybe the definition of the word is a Karka word. And the idea of saying, for example, the Tosfos Rid's principle that it has to be the Gedulei Karka. So this yesod has been rephrased in a different way. Anyone know what I'm talking about? That maybe you could express this as ein imur achar imur. Meaning what? Meaning that if the gedulei karka are not b'makom gedula, if they are not in the place where they are originally growing, it means they've already been gathered. And now they're somewhere else, you're gathering them again. Maybe that's not possible. Maybe there's only gathering at that initial place, and once it's moved already, now you're talking about a secondary type of imur, which may not be subject to chiyuv.
Two questions. One, just because it's not the makom gedula doesn't necessarily mean that there was an imur.
So we'll have to figure out what imur means. Maybe it does.
I mean, if you take one apple away from the tree, and you go to wherever, put it down, there's definitely not.
It would seem like that, but then maybe it missed its Emor opportunity. And then, so maybe an Emor after its Emor stage.
Okay. And then the second question is, the Rambam in Peres Mishnayos is seemingly explicit that he's even seemingly going one step further, that Emor is only by where you already have bunches and you're putting them together. So, any Emor after Emor
Rambam. You read the Rambam as saying that things were doubt already.
Godesh.
Right.
Godesh Omarim at Bagudah or something like that. That's what he
said. Right. So it says, therefore, the act of Ma'amer is
seemingly is been dealing with bundles altogether. Already. It's taking bundles and making them into one big bundle.
And therefore, that being a.
That would be the ultimate Emor or Emor, seemingly.
Or because the first Emor is not called Emor.
Or.
Right, which seems
to be what uses the
right. So it's a technical linguistic problem. It seems to be he doesn't consider the first part the malacha of ma'amer. Right, and we'll see. There's some discussion whether or not there's a consistency between the between the Rambam and the Rambam in Perish Mishnayos and the Rambam in Mishneh Torah. There are those who want to suggest that he changed his mind in between, which we'll see. That's a whole discussion also. Okay.
Which did you make first?
He wrote Peshmash. Okay, so this also affects other issues. There are those who want to suggest also that, for example, within the Rambam, that maybe there's only Imur by Ochlin. And they note that from the fact that the Rambam has the language when the Rambam talks about the excuse me. When he talks about the definition of the Shir, he says, this is in Ches Hey, he says, Hama'amir Ochlin im la'achila shiura kegrogris. So the Menches Chinuch gets very interested in this. He says, and we'll talk about this in a little bit more detail tomorrow. He says, why does the Rambam use this seemingly redundant language of somebody who is gathering Ochlin for the purposes of achila? Now, you could answer that in different ways, but he thinks that the Rambam is coming to tell you a chiddush here, that this is specifically a achila concept, especially an Ochlin concept. There are those who want to suggest, such as Rabbi Gedalia Felder in his Yisoid Yishurim, that he's distinguishing between Ochlin and Mashkin in this language. And the way he explains that is to say that Mashkin is in second phase beyond Ochlin. The juices of a fruit, for example, are Ochlin turned into Mashkin. So the ready, that's not Pshas, that's not Makum Gedula. So that's one suggestion. Let me see who went up first here. So let's assume Jonathan Daniel.
But what about if a fruit's Iker uses for a drink?
Even so, it could be still. That, even so, it might still be that it's already no longer in its place of Gidl. Daniel?
Sure, my understanding of the second Rambam, where it comes to like making a necklace almost.
Right.
And that's not necessarily from a chila, that's like almost a decoration. I mean, it could be like that also for a chila.
Right, but it could be either way, but it's clear from the Rambam that you could be doing it for other purposes, clear from this Rambam also, but in this same Rambam he says, in the Behema, in Mahasaka, but that maybe the Malach itself only applies when you're dealing with Ochlin. That's what he wants to suggest. In the Rambam, not necessarily that you're eating it, but that you're using it for the purposes of Ochlin. But the one difference is that maybe the Rambam only meant to distinguish between Ochlin and Mashkin, and just because Mashkin has this extra remove, or others have a different gear from the Rambam.
But is just salt considered Ochlin?
Ah, so that's what the Menches Chinuch gets into. So Menches Chinuch thinks that there's maybe a machlokas rishonim whether or not salt is considered to be Ochlin. That's how he gets into this whole discussion of, not how he gets into this whole discussion, but it's a major part of this whole discussion, and we'll come back to the second and see what the other questions are. So was it?
How would you collect juices? What's the?
So that's a good question in itself. You'd probably have to. Right. You would say, "Karen, shouldn't how you collect it." The question is, what form is it in beforehand? The way I collect it is off of shelves in the refrigerator in the supermarket. So that's presumably not what we're talking about. And so it's a fair question: how exactly you collect it in its previous stages? Maybe you go around. Yeah, I don't know exactly how you would collect it, but whatever it would be, maybe that wouldn't be Ma'amir anyway, so you don't have to figure out what it is, know what it is. Okay, I think it was Avram Mutani.
Why do we think that the Rambam is being superfluous here? I mean, why can't we just be innocently telling us what the Shir is?
So that's how some read the Rambam, but he is just telling us what the Shir is, but he could have just said, ha Ma'amir or anything, what's he doing with it? So if he's doing it for food, then it should be this. If he's doing it for Hasaka, it's this. But the fact that he throws it, Hama'amar Ochlin, La'achila, so the Menches Chinuch that was redundant.
But then once he goes up and talks about firewood and...
Right, so Ochlin for Hasaka.
Meaning, we're talking about something that could be used as a food, and right. If you're using it for food, right, if you're using it for firewood...
Then the share would be different.
So that means we're only talking about, like, the firewood that you take from food?
No, it would be wood. It would be some other food that you plan on throwing into the fire.
So how's that open? Oh, you meaning you want to cook
food? Items. So you take items of food and throw it into the fire.
Why would you do that?
To make it it's more important to you to have the fire than to have this food. It's not valuable food, and you need the fire. So you're burning it as fuel. Perhaps. Not interesting food.
Kefir pie.
Sorry?
Kefir pie.
Yeah, exactly. Hi.
I didn't understand what the Yisoid Yishurim wanted to said that Ochlin was coming to be.
So the Menches Chinuch reached him as has been mamayit everything else.
Right. You know,
that it only applies to Ochlin. And so the Yeshurun is saying that not that it doesn't apply to anything else, it's just that it specifically doesn't apply to Mashkin. And Mashkin has a reason not to apply it, because Mashkin is Ochlin that has changed into Mashkin. And therefore, that has a problem with Mokum Gidula. But we wouldn't necessarily say that anything other than Ochlin is going to be excluded.
Wait, he holds that the Rambam requires Mokum Gidula?
That's how he's assuming, yeah. Which we'll see is itself itself going to be a whole story. So the question is the question that Daniel raised. So this is a major issue. We alluded to this a little bit. We talked about Malachash and Shrucha Legufa. So one of the scant references in Shas elsewhere to the whole Ma'amer realm is the Gemara and Sarivav Mubeis. If you saw it, the discussion about what was the Mekoshesh Eitzim in violation of. It's funny, this is the most famous Machal Shabbos in all history. And it's not really clear what he did. It's not clear what his Chil Shabbos was. So, this Gemara is in Sarivav in the days. So, the Gemara has a whole discussion here, different opinions, as to what was the Chiv. What did he do wrong? How did he... It's really a chaval, because if it's true, as the Gemara has the opinion here, that he was trying to teach the importance of Shmirah Shabbos, so it's a chaval that he picked something which we didn't even chop. We don't even know what it was, because we have to fight about what the malacha was. Somewhat of an ambiguous lesson. So the Gemara has this machlokas. What was the issue? What was the malacha that he did? So it's Gemara in the bottom of the Sadi Bav and Rabbi Hudam Rishmuel, Makoshesh Maver Abba'amas Bershos Arabim Hava. So maybe that's what he was doing. He was carrying Wes Nisa Tana Tole Shava. Maybe he was doing Tole. We just learned about that. Ravacha Rabbi Yaakov Omer Ma'amer Ava. So according to Ravacha Rabbi Yaakov, he was doing Ma'amer. Okay. So Ma'amer we could understand, right? That actually probably sounds the most likely in terms of the Pashup Shat and the Psukim. Right? That he was going around gathering the wood. That would be Ma'amer. So that would be a problem, though, for the Rambam, because the Rambam, if you believe the Mechassinus interpretation of the Rambam, so he doesn't necessarily include this in Ma'amer. So Mechassinus makes an interesting point, depending on how much you want to be medayik in this. It's an interesting view. It says if you look at Rashi over here. Right, so the Minchas Chinuch has a diuk in Rashi. Tell me if you pick it up. It says Ma'amer. This Rashi here, Tzadi Vav Mevayz. So Tlushan Ufuzaran Hayu. So these wood pieces, they were scattered around. The Amran, and he gathered them together. Kida Amran Haman Dekanef Melcha Chayiv Mishum Ma'amer. Like the Gemara says, I Gimel Mevayz. Whoever gathers together salt is Chayiv Mishum Ma'amer. So, what can you be? What can you take note of in that Rashi? Is there something unusual about what Rashi chooses to say or not say over there? It's a very interesting view that Mechassina has. So Rashi says that he gathered together the wood, Kida Amran, Haman Dekanat Melcha, Chayiv Mishum Ma'amer. Donnie?
He's going with Rava.
Okay, that's one thing. Okay, he's picking an opinion in the Gemara which may not be a Leva de Hilchos. So, right, that's itself as a part of what the diuk is, or it's taking the diuk actually a step further. It's related, yes.
I think the reason why he's choosing that side, even if it's not what halacha, is because it's not Rashi is seemingly assuming that it's not going to be like karka.
Okay, that's but
or because it's in the midbar.
Okay.
You have trees.
Right. That's itself interesting where the trees right. come from. But although if there are trees, the trees really are gidulei karka.
Though it's not, meaning, would you say that you would have that Gidulei Karka for Ma'amer could be given from a Hachitz Shein on Nakul?
It's
possibly, yeah. Presumably.
Definitely. Where would you be?
Yeah, we discussed already the whole possibility that maybe things did grow at that time. There's different ways we could somehow swing about to some Gidulei Karka. Maybe it was a palm tree.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it could be there. Could be.
Grow in the absolute desert.
Something's growing there. It's going to be something. But
it's cunning. Does kala mean to tie or just to gather?
It seems like it means to gather. So Mechassino's point is that Rashi seems unnecessary. There's a Mishnah on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph that tells us that Ma'amar is one of the 39 Malachas. And then on the Gemara on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, it tells us a controversial pshat within, a controversial prat, within Ma'amar. So Mechassinov says, what's Rashi's whole point here? Oh, the Gemara says, Mekoshesh Eitzim, according to one opinion, he was in violation of Ma'amar. So Rashi should say, yeah, Ma'amar is Malacha. Take a look at the Mishnah and Lamentas and I am Gimel Amud Aleph. Instead of saying that, Rashi says, yeah, because there's the Gemara and I am Gimel Amud Beis, which tells us one brach in Ma'amar that doesn't really have anything to do with this specific detail. It's a pretty random reference. If we needed any reference, you could just say, okay, it's one of the 39 Malachas and take my word for it. If you need a proof, look at the Mishnah. What does this Gemara add to the existence of Ma'amar as a Malacha that explains this Gemara? That's what the Mechassinuch is bothered by. Jonathan?
So, I mean, can you just say that because in the Gemara was talking about something that's not necessarily food? And so
that's exactly what he wants to say. So he wants to say that that's Rashi's Chiddush. That Melach, according to Rashi, is not exactly food. Which some of us may beg to differ, and maybe the Rambam might beg to differ. Some of us relate to salt as more of a basic staple than others. But maybe Rashi is working off a sheet here that salt is not food. And that's what he's trying to be mechadish here, that here you have a machlokas as to what this individual was doing. And maybe central to the whole issue is whether or not Ma'amer is justifiably applicable to something that's not actually food. And therefore, Rashi comes to tell you a chiddush that, oh, you see from that Gemara that it applies to salt. And even the other opinion, which rejects that, is rejecting it based on Gidulei Karka. So that comes to show you that it's otherwise, that salt, even being a non-food item, is theoretically subject to Ma'amer if we call it Gidulei Karka, or if we're willing to extend to non-Gidulei Karka. So it says that's Rashi's point here, to make the point that Ma'amer is viable for the Kosher Shetzim. And the Rambam maybe disagrees, maybe the Rambam holds Melach is food, or whatever it is, or the Rambam, for whatever reason, doesn't accept this this point. Sammy?
How does he know that that's true? Meaning he has no proof from that. The fact that you would even see from the
he has no proof from whose side of the equation.
No, he doesn't have proof that Melach is food, according to anybody.
Correct.
I mean, that, how does he know that? That it would seemingly
that
has
say that Melach is food or isn't food.
There's no indication anywhere in these Gemaras.
That Melach is food.
Or not.
Well, he has a raya from Rashi. He's looking at the Mechassim. He has a raya from Rashi that it's not food.
How?
He has a raya. Take a look. I'll let you know what it is. Because he hasn't proved the Rashi Shutasu that it's not food.
That it's not food.
Right. Okay. So that's how he understands Rashi's Kiddush here. Okay. Problem is, the Rambam seems to be against the Beferish Rambam. And this is what I alluded to before about Perish Mishnayos and the Yadah Chazaka. So if you look at the Rambam and Perish Mishnayos in a somewhat unexpected place, but, I mean, it's expected if you saw it on the Marvel Comics this morning, but could otherwise. Like I said, everything in the sugya is kind of random in terms of where it turns up. So it's a familiar Mishnah to us, but it's not our Mishnah here. The Mishnah on Kuv Gimel. Right, so the Mishnah about Tolish Olshin, which has come up so far in almost every Malacha or every sugya, that Mishnah keeps coming back. Choresh, Kotzer, Malachshin, Tzvich L'Gufo, Psik Resha. It's one of the most cross-referenced Mishnahs anywhere. And by the way, it's also referenced in the sugya just in terms of what the shear for Ma'amer is. The assumption is that Mishnah is a source both for Choresh and for Kotzer and for Ma'amer. So all of that is relevant. So the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos, just find it here. Getting where it's put in this Gemara. But the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos on that Mishnah has the possibility that you could theoretically be in violation of Ma'amer for collecting wood. It says that on that Mishnah. So that would seem to contradict the issue that the Menchasin, the position of Menchasin is putting into the Rambam, that it has to be specifically Oakland. So how does he apply it here to pieces of wood and the like? So the Menchas Chinuch says, yeah, I'll tell you how. The old trick, the Rambam changed his mind. After cleaning the Perish HaMishnayis and the Torah, so he was Chayzer Bo, and his bottom line is, like he says in the Torah, that it's specifically Oakland. Hi.
So the Mishnah doesn't really deal with
Yeah, he said basically that we don't know what the psak is in terms of the Makosh Shaitzim, so it's the Machlokas and the Gemara, but he said that maybe the Machlokas itself is about that, that maybe the question is the other opinions don't accept it, maybe because they agree with the Rambam, that maybe that's the issue in the Gemara, is could you have Ma'amer? It's interesting, Ma'amer is the last opinion of the Gemara, but one could have thought that that's maybe the most likely. And again, if I had to guess, without looking at the Gemara, what is Makosh Shaitzim doing? How do we translate Makosh Shaitzim in English? How do the English, I think it's the gatherer of wood, right? So basically, the most likely malacha that we're talking about really is Ma'amer. So it's interesting that it's the last opinion in the Gemara. But if you're going to come up with other opinions, you seem to say it's not that. So why would you say it's not that? Maybe you say it's not that because you believe it only applies by food, and that's where Rashi is coming to tell you that it's possible not that way. Right, so here it is, the Perish Mishnayis and that Mishnah Acharish Kol Shehu on Kif Gimel Min Aleph. He says that what's going on there is Latakein Ha'aretz L'Charisha, you were picking up the stuff off the ground in order to fix the ground for the purposes of plowing. If your intent in picking up the pieces of wood on the ground is to burn them, or you want to collect up the grass in order to clump it together and feed it to your animal, what's that? Nikra ma'amer. And then that would be ma'amer. So it seems to be that he's applying this even beyond normal food, and that's maybe a problem for the Chaskinah's theory. So he says, no, the Rambam changed his mind.
Can we say that both the examples talk about with the salt and the trees that, yeah, they're not exactly food, but they're sort of having to do with food? Like, you use the trees to cook or feed it, the salt, obviously. So it's not like something that's completely not for food, like grass or something.
And maybe we could have a broader definition of food. The same way when it comes to Gedulei Karka, we're willing to have a broader definition. So can we possibly also have a broader definition?
You might not say, Rashi might not say for rocks necessarily.
Right, so saying that maybe it doesn't have to necessarily be called food, but maybe things that are used for food, or things that are used with food, or things that are used for achila, that maybe we could have a broad supermarket kind of definition of food that's used for other stuff, and other things that are bought with food, and anything that somehow falls into the supermarket category, we could
possibly... It was the Perish Mishnayis, but not the Mishnah Torah.
Maybe. Yep, it's possible. So, all of these issues, I'm basically just introducing them. I'd like to get into more detail about them tomorrow. Again, just to recap what some of them were. The question of what constitutes Ma'amer. Does Ma'amer apply only to Gedulei Karka? Does it apply only to Makum Gedulo? Does it apply only to food? All of these issues... each will have their own longer discussion. God willing, we'll get into it in more detail tomorrow. But I would like to just now come back to our first question, a definitional question of what exactly does Ma'amer mean, and try to direct the question a little more in a focused manner. I think you have to ask the question a little bit this way. What is it? Where is the tikkun of Ma'amer? What is Ma'amer accomplishing? And there are many, many different ways to ask this question, but the way I think categorizes all of it is, are we acting upon this item that we are gathering? When you pick up the fruit, you are gathering the fruit, that's the malacha? Or does it have to do with the creation of some bundle, the creation of some unit? Right, should we say that the focus, the tikkun, happens in where this fruit is being brought to? So is it you are gathering, let's say, the fruit or whatever it is? Or is it that you are creating a bundle? Where does the malacha happen? Does the malacha happen in the item being collected? Or does it happen in the creation of a new unit that is a bundle, that is an imur, and that's where this malacha is? And that is connected to a lot of these questions. You know, to what extent are we interested, bedavka, in forming an absolute unit? To what extent do we require them to be held together firmly, tied together, etc., etc.? All of that is important questions that I think are going to put a frame into, give a context to a lot of the other issues that come up. Is the imur happening to the fruit that's being picked up? Is the imur happening in the sense that it's being collected into one unit? And the unit is the imur, part of relevant to what Sammy said before about the Rambam seeming to say, Dav, you have these clumps already that you are bringing together, that's the imur. What do we mean when we say, ein imur, acher imur? All of these issues that we'll get into a little bit tomorrow, I think, emanate from this question. And we'll just illustrate it with one point. The Edward Tal has that big fetish where he says the following. So if we have a shear requirement, let's say a grogris, or the shear differs depending on what you're doing with it, but whatever the shear is, so says the Egli Tal as follows. Let's say you take less than a shear, but you bring it together with a pile, and now it's part of a whole shear. Says the Egli Tal, he thinks he'll be chaya for that. So, and that's very unusual. All right, so we have, let's say, a shear. You mentioned, okay, it's a question whether or not this is called a shear or not. But we have a requirement of two letters on Shabbos for kosev. So let's say you write one letter on Shabbos, but you write it next to a letter that was already written. Would that be a chiyuv of kosev on Shabbos? No. Right, you'd have to write both letters on Shabbos. You couldn't piggyback on an existing letter. So why would the Egli Tal think this is different? This is something Rosipe Seth Frank has a tshuva about. Right, this is a very unusual idea. And you follow the chiddush of what he's saying, that here, as opposed to most other malachas of Shabbos, so sometimes we could talk about doing a malach in two different units and combining them. But we're talking about doing both of these malach, both of these halves on Shabbos. To say that you have half the malach already done, and you only have to do the other half and bring it together, that's very unusual. How could we explain that position? Anyone want to take a stab at it? How could you explain that idea? Why there should be a malacha, why it should be different than other malachas where it require you to do both halves on Shabbos? Sammy, go first, I think.
I just had a question. I didn't understand the tumstadim. You said either it's tikkun is creating a new unit, or what was the other side?
So is the idea that you are the item, making the item gather? Let's say perhaps it's an idea of removing it from its place of having fallen, let's say, for example, taking it to its next stage? Or is it specific with the creation of a bundle, the creation of a unit, the creation of a joint entity? And it's illustrated a little bit through this example that I'm trying to ask now, that this idea of the Egli Tal, that you could have a chiyuv if you just join in with an existing bundle. So that sounds like it's right. That sounds like it's really pushing towards the second tzad. That maybe the nature of the malacha of ma'amer is that you are creating a bundle, and therefore, if I take half grogris A and join it to clump B, so don't tell me I'm only dealing with half grogris A. I'm dealing with the whole entity. When I put this half grogris into this clump, So all of this is the subject of my activity, and I have now created this igud, have now created this entity, which is all a part of my action. I think Jonathan's up first, and Daniel?
I think a proof for that is that in the Mishnah, we had some examples which it said the shear would be two. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it didn't say you need two things here, you can only do it with one, would show that that would be the case, that you can have two things from one, like two chatzi shears to be one mamir, and didn't say you need two things from mamir.
Can you explain that again? What do you mean, have some things?
We had in the Mishnah, which some of the lachos, you need, say,
two letters,
two tefiros. So here, the fact, so you would think that it's gathering and it's on based on an individual thing, that if you need two, that you would need two objects to gather. But the fact that we're saying right now, like we're based on Frank, that it's on, that you're making one bundle object would explain why Ma'amar isn't listed as that you need two things. It only needs one.
Except that you need more than one thing to bring together, though.
Right, but it can be two chatzi shears.
That's interesting itself. It's a different usage of the shear. It's counting things versus counting quantities.
So you can have one main shear.
See, it's interesting. We'll get to this tomorrow a little bit, but like, for example, the Aruch HaShulchan has a chumrah. Well, that's a couple of chumras put together. It says that if you pick two fruits and hold them together, so that could be a problem of ma'amar. And some consider that to be quite a chumrah. So you could say it's a chumrah for a few reasons. One is there are those who assume that ma'amar is more than two. And maybe two is not considered to be enough of a bundle. Maybe there is some type of definition which goes in the other direction of what you're saying. Also, it's a question of whether holding something in your hand can ever be considered a unit. Your hand is going to be a very temporary way of joining things together. So again, all of these details, so basically what we did today so far, I'll take Daniel's question in a second, what we did today is we laid out what most of the issues are. And tomorrow we'll go into more detail examining the back and forth about some of these issues, and we'll try to bring it all together in terms of having it all be a package. I think Daniel and Sam?
I think the second definition of minor, does that rely on a more limited makapatish in order to avoid overlap?
Like, so that's an interesting question also. I don't think it's that connected to makapatish. It's interesting, there is some discussion to what extent it's created. It's connected to bona. Is it about creating a structure? Maybe a food structure, but you have bona in that context also. So maybe there's some overlap with that. And bona often has overlap with makapatish. Makapatish is going to be more connected to when something becomes usable or perfected through the addition, which is not necessarily the case here. It could just be a bigger bundle. So there does seem to be somewhat of a possible continuum here. Ma'amer, bona, makapatish. It's possible, though, that ma'amer and makapatish don't interact as much. They have cousins, but they don't necessarily have to share the same territory, but it does seem like they may be sharing a neighborhood somewhere.
I think this is the Rambam again. The Rambam refers to, if I put them all together as a group, as the Av, and if they're separated with the connected with the string, to hold them. So according to Rambam, would be more than making a unit if they're connected? Would that be almost like what Mimer is?
That seems to be what he's saying. He defines Mimer as making something into group alpha.
Not just that you're bringing them together and making a unit, I'm also doing that when I make them into chain.
So why that a told as opposed to
right?
It might be a told also because maybe that's not Malkum Gedula, if that's a condition of the Rambam. So we'll have to get into that also a little bit. Maybe that's the difference. But otherwise, it does seem to be a pretty obvious version. So we'll get into that a little bit also. Sam?
How can we say that holding multiple fruits together would be considered a malacha if we do that on Sukkot every year?
Oh, so that's also an interesting question, and there's a discussion about that also, because we'll have to get into that a little more tomorrow because we're almost out of time. But there is a discussion about that because the Gemara has a whole story about lulav tzarech eged, lulav ein tzarech eged, to what extent do we have to tie it together, not tie it together. And there's a discussion about doing that on Yantif and what issues are involved. And once again, the elephant not in the room, so to speak, is ma'amer, so why is it not a ma'amer issue? So there is a discussion, some of the acronym explain, that perhaps we deal with Dalet Minim, so even when they're actually physically connected, they still maintain independent identities by their very nature. That's the whole point. And therefore, they don't come together even when they're physically tied together. And maybe Ma'amer requires a blending of everything into one, which by its very nature, the Dalet Minim don't. And maybe that's a part of the puzzle. So we'll have to maybe give that a little more attention tomorrow, but your question is well taken. That is a question that's discussed. How come the Dalet Minim together doesn't necessarily, for other reasons, even without the Aruch HaShulchan Chumrah, doesn't seem to be a Ma'amar issue. Okay, so everything more or less clear we did today? Okay, again, so the agenda for tomorrow basically is to take the issues that we discussed today and expand on them, go into more detail, and then see what type of a picture we can emerge with in terms of understanding this halacha, and then to progress to Chumash on Thursday and the halacha lamaisa of Ma'amer on Sunday. And then next week we'll also have to do a little bit of the Hanukkah, Shabbos Hanukkah. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful day. It should be only good things.